Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX. Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, February 14th, 2013, the 56th day of winter. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. We have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 34 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:50 this morning. It will set at 5:29 this afternoon. We will have 10 hours and 39 minutes of daylight today. The moon rose at 8:49 this morning, less than 2 hours ago. It will set at 10:32 tonight. We are between new moon and first quarter. Next full moon is February 25th. Now it's a little bit of bad news. There will be no tides today. No high tides, no low tides. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. I just don't have them for you. They will occur, as they always do. Now, here's some good news. Our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. I'm very happy to report that there are no reported American deaths since January 20th, the last one I have record of. So none of our service members has lost his or her life since last we met 2 weeks ago. With the president's assurances that we will soon be out of Afghanistan, it appears that my long-stated desire that there will be no more deaths to report may come true in the near future. Let it be so. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May this feature come to an end in the very near future because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them because everyone has the right to be wrong. So to compensate in a wonderful way for not having any casualties to report, we actually have two shows to report. One of them is last night's In the Heights, performed at the Westchester Broadway Theater right up here in Elmsford. In the Heights did win the Tony for Best Musical in 2008 on Broadway. It's reprised here for the first time since its Broadway run. It's had at least two national tours. Fatih is a young man who acts in a number of productions up there. He plays Benny. He's his usual strong presence, whether he's singing, dancing, or acting. He has the talent to take him far in this profession. Other cast members, a number of whom have toured with this show or done it in the original Broadway production, are strong as well. The house. The Westchester Broadway Theater itself, the venue, is not up to this performance. Hearing the words is critical, as some are in Spanish, and some come flying fast and furiously. Now, I'm fine with having some words in Spanish. It does add a cultural flavor, and after all, this is essentially about a Hispanic neighborhood in Washington Heights, Upper Manhattan. So it's appropriate and it's fine. But most theatergoers are English speaking, not Spanish speaking, and therefore, if you know some words, you really want to hear them so that you say, "Oh yeah, okay, I know what mañana means, I know what buenos dias means." But if it's garbled, if it's in English, you can kind of get the garble. If it's in another language, you can't. So the sound system and the house itself is not really good for this particular performance. Okay, all right. Some of the singers, when they're singing softly, they have very fine voices. But then when they sing with more power, they lose their timbre and it comes out tinny. And that's not the actor's fault or the singer's fault at all. It is the system. So I don't know, I've said this before about them. I love the house. I love the people there. But there are some changes could easily be made. Maybe expensive, though. The play is well-crafted, incorporating pathos and humor, lots of good songs, and choreography. As always, Westchester Broadway Theater puts on a worthwhile show for a fair price, and you are not concerned about dinner or parking because all is included. I loved the show on Broadway, and I liked it here. Worth seeing, especially if you know some simple Spanish. But even if you don't, there's much here for a great night out, a lot closer to your backyard than Manhattan, and a lot less expensive. Okay, the other thing we saw was the movie Stand Up Guys. Get Al Pacino and Christopher Walken together on the same screen, and you have a winner. So the fact that this film is short on plot doesn't hurt it at all. It's billed as a crime/comedy, but I'd have to add buddy flick to this. This is about buddies. Toss in Alan Arkin, and you are gilding the lily. They deliver, of course, as two former gangsters who get back together when Pacino gets out after a long bit in prison. The call of their former life is great, and when they hook back up with Alan Arkin, all remember their previous roles. It's too much to resist, so they perpetrate, as is their wont to do. Along the way, there is the comely prostitute played by Veronica Rossati, with whom Pacino cannot at first perform. That is the big mystery of this film. See it, and you will know what I mean. So he goes and he takes a handful of a certain kind of pill and returns ready. But he is so ready, having taken such an enormous dose, I think he said, oh, I just took a handful of them, that he persuades the equally fetching Lucy Punch to join them. And that's all I'm willing to tell you. Lucy is younger than any madam ever was, but small stretches in a movie such as this are perfectly okay with me. Toss in Addison Timlin as Pacino's granddaughter, and you have a very, very, very sweet support cast. Walken, as he often does, underplays the role, and there is not an actor on earth who can bring that off as he does. Great performance, as always. Pacino, too, is Pacino, and that is all good. The rest of the cast supports the action with style, and did I say that Veronica Rossati, Lucy Punch, and Addison Timlin are all eye candy? Perhaps you heard me mention that. I recommend this film if you like these actors and very, very, very pretty girls. If you like chick flicks with heavy drama and heart-wrenching maudlin pathos, then please do yourself and me a favor. Stay home. Not that kind of flick. Okay, my guest today, do we have him yet? We don't. Okay, we don't have him yet. So let me just say a couple of things about the President's State of the Union address. I thought he did a very good job of speaking. He's a good orator. He's inspirational speaker. The problem with these speeches is the reality sets in, and the Congress says, yeah, okay, nice talk, but try to get it past us. You know, it's like we have a very good play in the playbook, but the defense is just too good, and the defense wants to keep him down. So then Marco Rubio came on to deliver the Republican response. Now, I was looking forward to seeing Marco Rubio. I would like very much to have a Republican that I can relate to, that makes some sense to me. Unfortunately, I was disappointed. He was nervous. Well, okay, I'll forgive him that. But the message was just, there was nothing inspirational about it. It was, let's hold the horse back. Let's just wallow in what we've been doing and let the special interests continue to have their way. And let's not do anything progressive at all. Let's keep the people who are doing well, and keep the people who are not doing well, not doing well. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the natural order of things. And white men are supreme. Well, it's not that way. And he is, I believe, Cuban-American. So he's actually a Hispanic. Now, the Republican Party needs, or they feel they need, some connection to the Spanish vote, because they've lost it quite seriously in this last election. And I guess this is their way to do it. However, this fellow did not show me anything. Who does show me something on the Republican side is Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. I love this guy. I can easily vote for him for president. I don't even know all of his policies. I just know that he talks straight. He makes me want to follow him. He makes me want to be in his camp. So unless he runs against Hillary Clinton, there's a very good chance, if he does actually get the Republican nomination, that I will vote for Chris Christie. So, you know, we are progressives. Many of us are progressives, and we very much want to move forward. And I'm an independent voter, and I very much would like to see a Republican of that quality, that is Chris Christie of New Jersey, on the national scene. Okay, we have our guest for today. His name is Paul Gallet. He's the president of Riverkeeper. Riverkeeper is an activist environmental organization which addresses issues that concern Westchester County and beyond, most specifically the nuclear power plants at Indian Point and hydraulic fracturing, which we know as fracking. Speaking to us from Assining, welcome, Paul Gallet.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be on.
Good morning. My great pleasure. You, in addition to what I just mentioned, the Indian Point plant and the fracking, you also are involved in the Tappan Zee Bridge affair. Do you want to just give us something briefly about that first?
Well, the Tappan Zee Bridge replacement would be the biggest public works project in the country at this point, and one of the biggest in the history of the state. And we have always been on record with our concerns that if this project is going to happen, it has to happen in the most environmentally sensitive fashion possible. We are totally dedicated to the principle that you have to balance social needs, economic needs, and environmental needs. They call that the triple bottom line. And we mean to make sure that if this project happens, it's going to be a project that meets all three.
So what problems do you anticipate that could be detrimental to, let's say, the environment?
Well, there's a huge amount of dredging, although we're very happy to see that the dredging has been cut in half since the project was originally proposed. The pile driving is going to have impacts on the marine life, and it's also going to have impacts on the communities along the shoreline. So the fact that the governor's office has received bids that already reduces the amount of pile driving because the biggest of the piles are being cut out is only a good thing. So at this point, there's a public process on the permits that are necessary for the project. Riverkeeper offered oral comments at a public hearing last week. We're putting in written comments, but we're also going to try and talk with the state and see whether or not our concerns can be addressed directly and constructively.
Okay, so is it just the physical upset from dredging and pile driving, or are we stirring up PCBs or anything else that's down in the riverbed?
You know, that's another issue. When you dredge, you resuspend some of the particles that are on the bottom, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that every best practice that is known to the engineering community is thrown at this project to make sure that if there is resuspension, it's not going to harm the environment, and that remains an open question for us.
And okay, will you be fighting a lot of special interests who, first of all, don't want to spend the money, and second of all, want to get the job done quickly? And there's always politics involved. I guess you anticipate that.
You know, I'm excited to get to the fracking topic, Bob, but just to honor you and give an answer to your question, I don't know what the special interests want on this project.
No one else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. So now she's going out with that creep Nathan.
Cops are out there, and they'll see you before you see them. They're cracking down on drinking and driving all across the country. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Sponsored by the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
WVOX.
Okay, I'm sorry, Paul. We missed our break and we cut you off. Just tie it up quickly on the Tappan Zee Bridge, and then we'll get straight to fracking.
As far as the Tappan Zee Bridge is concerned, if this project is going to happen, it has to happen in a way that honors the environment, social concerns, as well as economic interests. And Riverkeeper is all in to make sure that that happens.
Excellent. Okay, that's enough of that, as you say. Fracking, there was a big decision yesterday, I think, where the approval was postponed. I'm not sure I have it right, but I'm sure you do. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, Commissioner Shaw of the Health Department wrote a letter to Commissioner Martins of the Environmental Department saying, you know, other states have begun serious health consideration of fracking only after fracking has begun, which is sort of like closing the barn door after the horse is already out.
Right.
And he says that in New York we cannot do that. We've got to protect public health by really taking a hard look at health impacts before the state makes a decision whether to go forward with fracking. And that seems to be the direction that the state is going in, which is very refreshing.
Excellent. Now, in the past, of course, there's been the usual rhetoric, oh, fracking is safe, and we've been doing it here and there and there, and then they're supported by farmers or landowners, whatever, who are not doing well, who would love to get that extra money. So I know a dairy farmer personally upstate who's for fracking, and he doesn't really care about anything except the fact that he's getting money. So there's a lot of support for it, and the environmental community seems to be very skeptical of it.
You know, fracking seems to be a battle between people who say, no way, because the science and study shows that it harms our water, air, and communities, and folks who know the environment's going to take a hit, but hope it won't be that bad. And that's just, you know, that's not a bargain that we should take. We are always supposed to be about both the environment and the economy because the economy is based on the environment. If you think that our economy depends upon tourism and you want to make sure that that tourism continues, if you think that we want to have clean water so that our farms are safe, so that our produce continues to be marketable, then you got to be concerned about the science. What does it say when 49% of New Yorkers polled say fracking poses unacceptable risks and only 18% disagree with that? It shows that people are concerned and they want our governor to make a decision that really comes to grips with the seriousness of the health issue.
Okay, now another thing on the other side is that there's a lot of money involved, and I'm just, you know, looking at all the factors. I certainly agree that fracking should be looked at with a microscope, and any problems, potential problems to groundwater or any other environmental issues should be thoroughly, thoroughly addressed. But on the other hand, it's my understanding that about 10% of the new jobs created recently, maybe last year, were from the natural gas industry. How do you stand up to such a steamroller?
Well, if you look at the data, the studies from Colorado, the studies from West Virginia, the studies from here in New York, communities that go in with natural gas or other extractive mining tend to do worse over time on educational achievement, on the diversity of their economy, on their property values, and on their long-term economic growth. It's a bad bet. Economically as well as environmentally. A lot of the jobs come in, the roughnecks come in from Oklahoma or states far from the communities. The roads get damaged very seriously. One state study suggests that there'd be $375 million a year in road damage. Communities are industrialized, and that's the supporters of fracking admitting that communities become industrialized and change forever. You know, it's just not a panacea. If you think something's going to save you, if you think that we're going to be just, forever benefited by being in the fracking community, then you got to come to grips with the data. You got to take the blinders off on fracking.
Okay, we are speaking with Paul Gallet. He's president of the Riverkeeper in Ossining. Your website is riverkeeper.org, correct?
It is, Bob. Thanks for mentioning
okay,
that.
Okay, so anybody who would like to know more about their work, go to www.riverkeeper.org. I believe it's the oldest riverkeeper organization in the world, and it is now all over the world. Didn't it originate here with John Cronin and Bobby Kennedy?
Well, it originated, you know, John Cronin and Bobby Kennedy had been involved since the 80s. Bobby's still very much involved. He's our chief prosecuting attorney. John Cronin has gone on to other things. But it was founded back in the 60s as the Hudson River Fishermen's Association by a group of, you know, real grassroots people who lived on the river, enjoyed the river, were disgusted by what was being done to the river, the slop oil pouring out of the Metro North Yard in New York Central at that time, the fact that GM would be painting their cars and just venting out the waste of the paint into the river, and you could tell what color they were painting the cars and trucks in North Tarrytown by, you know, the color of the river that day. So, you know, this is a grassroots movement in its purest sense. And even though we've grown to be an organization that's got 25 staff and a budget of nearly $4 million, we do everything we possibly can to be true to those grassroots roots. And we support groups that are volunteer groups, that are partner organizations that sample water quality, that fight the desal proposal for Rockland County, which is a terrible idea, that help clean up shorelines. We were involved in a cleanup last May. 30 different organizations, local volunteer organizations helped us, and this year we think it's going to be as many as 50.
Interesting. And I know you do great work. Is Pete Seeger involved with you up there?
Pete Seeger's involved with Clearwater. It's a commonly held assumption, but you can always imagine that Clearwater is the group that does the environmental education for the next generation, and Pete Seeger is an amazing leader of that group, as is Jeff Rumpf, the executive director. Riverkeeper is the watchdog that makes sure that we keep the pollution out of the river and find solutions to some of our energy challenges here so we can close down Indian Point excuse me, and avoid fracking.
Okay, now go to Indian Point. What about that? You brought up Indian Point, and I was going to bring up Indian Point. What do you have to say about that?
Indian Point was never meant to go beyond 40 years, and here we are on the verge of them trying to get relicensed after 40 years. There's nothing to do with the spent fuel, so it's packed four times too tight into their spent fuel pools, which have leaked and which can cause real damage because they're not protected from terrorist attack. It's the plant that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has identified as being the most at risk for core meltdown in the case of an earthquake because they found new seismic fault lines that crisscross just north of the plant that they didn't even know about at the time it was built.
Well,
evacuation plan, you know, I'm just getting started, Bob, sorry. The evacuation plan is a fantasy document by everybody's admission. I think even the people who operate that plant would admit that they just pray that there's no need for an evacuation because you know the roads around Indian Point. It's even on your best, sunniest day with no snow and no other catastrophe, you're just not going to evacuate around an accident
no,
at Indian Point.
Not at all. Has there been recorded seismic activity there, number one? And let me ask you the second question since you're on a roll. What do you mean it was never intended to go for longer than 40 years? Was it supposed to be shut down after 40 years? Was it just a temporary thing?
That's what they said when they built it. And, you know, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission licenses plants for 40 years, not because they've done some sort of careful evaluation of how long plants should be licensed for, but because that was what the Federal Communications Commission was doing with radio stations. And I love radio. Believe me, I was a radio DJ when I was in college.
Cool.
40 years sounds a good like the time to me, but you know that's not the way that you should be measuring the most dangerous activity on the face of the planet.
Now, one big argument that has been put forth, even by environmentalists, is that the risks that are posed by nuclear energy are actually in balance and may even be better risks than what happens with the release of all the fossil fuels into the atmosphere, that might actually be more destructive than potential disaster at a nuclear plant. What do you say to that?
You could close Indian Point tomorrow, and you would have a seven-year cushion where we have enough existing fuel supply to operate even on the hottest day of the year. And that's not me speaking. That's the independent system operator, the people who run the power grid for New York. They have the same numbers we do. The mayor of New York has the same numbers. The state Government has the same numbers.
Okay.
So there's a power surplus. But let me get right to your question.
Yeah.
You could add probably twice as much power as Indian Point supplies by a combination of energy efficiency, refurbishing other inefficient plants, which would reduce air pollution in New York City and the Lower Hudson Valley, and renewable energy. And that, again, is not us talking. We hired a very, very well-regarded and objective consulting firm, Synapse Energy Economics, that consults for state offices, public commissions across the country, and said, could you close Indian Point without using more fossil fuel? And that's the answer that came back. You could easily generate replacement power from a combination of energy efficiency, refurbishing old plants, and renewable energy.
Okay, I'm digesting that. But it doesn't address the absolute danger of fossil fuels, which are the greenhouse gases.
Yes, it does, Bob. It says that you don't need any more fossil fuel to close Indian Point because you can close it with energy efficiency, repowering old plants that would actually make the use of fossil fuel currently more efficient. You know, the typical coal or oil plant right now is operating as a single-cycle plant, 30% efficiency. And if you make it a dual-cycle plant, you bring up to the most current technology, you can more than double that energy efficiency.
Right.
We waste too much energy in this country. Just set-top boxes alone at people's TV sets. You know, we spend $2 billion a year paying for energy for set-top boxes when they're not being used.
Okay, Paul, I have to cut us. We're at the end. Thanks very much for your feedback. There's so much more to ask, but we just don't have the time for that. Thank you.
No, it's been great talking with you, Bob.
Thanks very much.
Bye now.
Thank Paul Gallet for joining us on Environmentally Sound today. Riverkeeper does good work. It's riverkeeper.org if you'd like to go to the website. Our thought for the week, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the world. Next up, Howard Sturman is in the house, a native-born citizen of this here great country. Thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy, thanks to Don Stevens, and thanks to Debbie Schechter, engineer and sports writer par excellence. I am Bob Lebensoll, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
We're shooting straight from the heart.
Happy Valentine's.